This episode is brought to you by Curie Briefs, the smartest 3-minute read in medicine. Think of it like mental floss for busy clinicians. Sharp, concise, and clinically relevant. Check it out today at Curie.md. And now, on to the show. I am Mike, and welcome back to Curie. Today's episode is a comprehensive wrap-up of the 2025 ASCO annual meeting. Whether you were in Chicago or following from afar, there was a lot to process this year. So we've put together a breakdown of the 4 major themes that emerged from the meeting. First, how AI is starting to move from abstract promise to clinical reality. Second, a stark warning about NIH funding and what that could mean for the future of oncology research. Third, China's accelerated emergence as a global innovation leader in cancer drug development. And finally, 5 paradigm-shifting clinical trials that aren't just interesting, they're signaling real practice-relevant change. Let's dive in with AI, a subject that's had a lot of buzz, but this time it landed with substance. During the presidential address, ASCO and Google unveiled a live demonstration of an AI-powered guidelines assistant developed in collaboration. The tool pulled from ASCO's latest treatment guidelines and provided structured, evidence-based care recommendations in response to natural language prompts. Essentially, it mimicked how a busy oncologist might phrase a clinical question in real life. The response time? Just seconds. ASCO President Dr. Robin Zahn set the tone, saying AI is not replacing oncologists, but oncologists using AI might replace those who don't. She emphasized 3 use cases that shaped the Google partnership: accelerating scientific breakthroughs by making literature more searchable and machine readable, enabling earlier detection by identifying patterns in screening and diagnostics, and supporting quality care delivery, especially by easing the administrative burden that so often pulls clinicians away from the bedside. Ruth Porat, president and CFO of Alphabet, elaborated on the business and scalability angle. She described the collaboration as focused on making high-quality care more equitable and accessible through intelligent support systems. She cited the burdens of clinical documentation, chart navigation, and prior authorizations as places where AI can make immediate impact. One pilot site, she noted, had reduced documentation time by nearly 40% after early implementation. These are still early days, but the direction is clear. AI is being positioned as an enabler, not a disruptor. All right, from future tools to present threats. The second major theme was much more sobering. The funding that supports oncology innovation is under threat. In his opening keynote, ASCO CEO Dr. Clifford Hudis took direct aim at the proposed 2026 federal budget, which includes a 40% cut to the National Cancer Institute. He called it the largest proposed reduction in NCI history and warned that it could destabilize the ecosystem that supports early stage discovery. To make the point hit home, Hudis offered historical context. The NCI's funding of basic and translational research helped launch many of the breakthroughs we now take for granted, from HER2 targeting to immunotherapy checkpoint blockade. Without a robust foundation, he said, the future pipeline doesn't exist. Several academic leaders echoed this concern during their sessions, noting that many early career investigators rely entirely on NCI grants to sustain their labs. There was also discussion of a related policy issue, a proposed cap on indirect NIH funding, which ASCO and others successfully lobbied to block. Had it gone through, the cap would have gutted the overhead that academic centers rely on to host trials. As one research chair put it, you can't run cutting-edge research on goodwill alone. This would have hollowed out our infrastructure. Industry leaders were vocal too. A panelist from Merck warned, when you squeeze the base of the innovation pyramid, the top collapses eventually. What we're seeing in this budget is not just a cut, it's a step backward. That sense of urgency permeated ASCO 2025, not just in keynotes, but in hallway conversations, poster sessions, and closing slides. Now, let's shift gears. If AI and funding were themes about how care is delivered, the third thing was about where that innovation is coming from. And here, China made a powerful impression. China's role in global oncology research has been growing for years, but this was the first ASCO where the scale and prominence were impossible to ignore. Over 900 Chinese-led abstracts were submitted. Of those, dozens received oral presentations and several featured in late-breaking sessions. The quality was high, and in many cases, first-in-class or global-first designs were presented. One trial, evaluating a novel HER3 targeting ADC and NCLC, was conducted across both China and North America with regulatory endpoints aligned to global standards. That's a big shift from a few years ago when many China origin studies were regionally focused. Multiple companies also announced global expansion plans, including cross-border partnerships with U.S. and EU-based sponsors. Now, why does this matter for the average oncologist? Because we may soon be seeing more Chinese-developed drugs on formularies, not just biosimilars, but first-line agents. There's also growing discussion about how pricing competition may emerge as these players gain FDA approval. As one biotech analyst put it, the next wave of disruption in oncology might not be about mechanism, it might be about geography. Now let's turn to the clinical data and walk through the five paradigm-shifting studies that defined ASCO 2025. First, DESTINY-Breast9. This was the first trial to test trastuzumab deruxtecan, or Enhertu, as a first-line option in HER2-low metastatic breast cancer. Until now, these patients were typically treated with taxane-based chemo. In this study, Enhertu delivered a median progression-free survival of 13.5 months versus just 8.2 months with standard chemo. That's a striking difference. Perhaps more importantly, there was a clear trend toward improved overall survival, and the safety profile remained consistent. One HCP from the ZoomerX panel said, "This is the first ever regimen to beat our first-line established regimen. We need to move and HER2 up front and potentially even replace chemotherapy at diagnosis. Given how toxic standard chemo can be, this could mean a major shift in quality of life for patients." Next, ASCENT-4, or KEYNOTE-D19. This phase 3 trial combines sacituzumab govitecan, that's Trodelvy, with pembrolizumab in first-line triple-negative breast cancer. The combination led to a 35% reduction in the risk of progression or death, with median PFS extending to 8.9 months versus 5.6 months for pembro alone. The improvement in objective response rate was also meaningful, and the durability of response was nearly doubled. An XP said, "Adding Trodelvy to pembro basically causes major improvement. This is big." There was also excitement around tolerability. Neutropenia was observed, but rates of serious diarrhea or febrile neutropenia were lower than expected. If approved, this combo could become the new frontline default for triple-negative disease, replacing chemo-IO regimens in eligible patients. Third, see post. Evaluating Libtayo in patients with resected cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, this group has long faced high recurrence risk with limited data to support adjuvant intervention. In this trial, Libtayo reduced the risk of recurrence or death by a full 68%. One HCP summarized, "Libtayo significantly improved disease-free survival. It reduces the risk of recurrence or death by 68%. This changes post-op care for a high-risk group that's often overlooked. If adopted, this would mark the first broad entry of immunotherapy into the adjuvant setting for this cancer." Fourth, DG4 evaluating TDXD in second-line HER2-positive gastric cancer. Until now, there hasn't been a second-line therapy to show a survival benefit in this space. In this study, TDXD beat physician's choice chemo with a median OS of 12.3 months versus 8.4 months, a near four-month gain. PFS and ORR were also significantly higher. An oncologist said, "There was no prior second-line trial in HER2-positive gastric cancer that's shown an OS benefit. This is the first time we're seeing a survival extension in this setting, and it's TDXD. With manageable side effects and better efficacy, this trial may establish TDXD as the new global standard of care." And finally, Breakwater focused on BRAF mutant metastatic colorectal cancer. This subtype has long been seen as difficult to treat. In Breakwater, first-line treatment with encorasinib plus cetuximab and chemotherapy yielded a response rate of 67% compared to just 40% with standard FOLFIRI-based care. As one HCP put it, "Major improvement in response with an overall response rate of 2/3 versus 40%. This is a breakthrough for a tough subtype. The safety profile was manageable with diarrhea and fatigue as the most common side effects. No new signals emerged." Bonus mention to IM4TE, extensive stage small cell lung cancer. Though not officially listed as paradigm shifting, it offered hope in a setting where long-term survival remains rare. Durable responses with a new IO chemotherapy combination were seen in a small subset of patients, and longer-term follow-up is underway. So where does all of this leave us? ASCO 2025 was a meeting of both opportunity and urgency. On one hand, we saw game-changing data and meaningful progress. New drugs, better trials, smarter tools. On the other hand, we heard loud and clear that the system enabling that innovation is under threat. Whether it's funding, access, or global competition, oncology is at a crossroads. And that's it for this special episode of Curi. If you're looking for more curated updates, medical podcasts, or interactive games built just for HCPs, check out CuriMD. It's your home for evidence-based, peer-relevant content in a clutter-free format. Thanks for listening. Until next time, stay curious and keep making a difference.